And what we're going to do now is have a little bit of open sharing. Vicki talked about getting to talk about what you heard or what, you know, what works. So I'm going to give people a little bit of a chance right here and right now to just come up here and say what this has meant to you today and, you know, what you'll take home with you today. Because if we don't just kind of cement that, we can go home and get busy and kind of forget some of the stuff that we have talked about today. And I've been enjoying this workshop a lot, but the last little bit, I've kind of really got into my own stuff, and so I guess I need to share that a little bit, because I was, you know, sitting there going this way, and, you know, everything that was said, everybody was saying, yeah, me too, but we were talking about the holidays, and that's when my stuff started to come up, because this Thanksgiving and this Christmas will be my first Christmas without my husband. So, I don't know what it's going to be like. I didn't make a plan for my Thanksgiving and Christmas, except that we have almost always, with few exceptions, had Thanksgiving at our house with our kids and our grandkids, and now our two great-grandkids. So, we'll do that again, but what it will look like, I don't know, because I think we will all have Jerry on our minds, of course, and he'll be there. I mean, of course we'll be talking about him. He'll be right there in his spot. The kids will probably leave his chair empty. I don't know. But anyway, I just feel like I need to get up and say that so I don't take that home with me and let it feed my, you know, sad side, because I really identify with what Vicki said. We can grieve and be happy. And, you know, I am happy. I really am. I have been happy. And yet I can grieve and be happy. And a couple weeks ago, I met my lawyer and some of my kids at the probate court. And as we were leaving, the lawyer said, you know, call me if you need me. You know, I'll be in touch. You'll be in touch. And he looked at me and he said, but you have so much support. And I thought, if you only knew how much support I have, you wouldn't even think I needed you at all. So, because not only do I have my family, but I have y'all, my family of choice, and my church and friends. And I have so much support that how could I be anything but happy? And one of my dear friends talks about her widowhood. I don't like that word, but that's sometimes that crosses my mind. But anyway, she says, honey, I had 50 years with that man. How could I not be happy? And I had 53 years with Jerry. So how could I not be happy? So I'm grieving, but I am happy. And I just want to say that and take that home with me today. And I want y'all to get up here and tell me what you're taking home with you. Thank you.
Every time I've tried to go through that cord, it hasn't worked yet. Anyway, still Sharon, still a compulsive eater.
Hey, Sharon.
Thank you so much for what you brought here today. Real blessing. And kind of just the right thing before holiday time to have this boost of this workshop. So that's great. I wanted to share what I wrote about what the plan of eating does for me and what it doesn't do for me. So my plan of eating relieves me of food obsession, because my mind used to go, what will I eat, when will I eat it, how much will I eat, and will anybody else know about it or not? And so I don't have to go around in that hamster wheel when I do that. it relieves anxiety. I know that my needs will be met. It relieves my body obsession because my body stays pretty much the same. It gives me freedom to live. When I live in my food plan, I have meals, but then I have a life in between. And it keeps me healthy, and it keeps my mind clear. And I needed both of those things when I came back this time. What the plan of eating doesn't do for me is it doesn't limit me. Having guidelines that I stay between about when it's time to eat and what I put on my plate is just like staying between the rails on the train track. But it gets me where I'm going, so it doesn't limit me at all. It doesn't make eating more complicated. It doesn't distract me from life like my eating disorder does. It doesn't interfere with relationships like my eating disorder does. And it doesn't damage my self-esteem like my eating disorder does. When I'm in my disease and I either use food or I take an idea about possibly using food, like the one time back in program the first time around, I started developing a list of what I would eat if I went off my food plan. And I was planning to binge. I was like, you know, I'll buy this, I'll buy that, I'll buy the other thing. And when I take those kinds of thoughts or pick up food, that obsession takes over. And one thing turns into another thing, turns into 50 things or whatever. Then I have guilt, shame, and remorse. Then I want to tell myself that I can control it. If I do it this way, if I plan it this way, if I put this boundary around it, I can control it. And all of those things, obsession, guilt, shame, and remorse, illusion of control, and a thought or action that I'm addicted to, that's what my disease looks like. And I don't have to keep going round and round doing that. When I show up for a program, continue to be honest with people, continue to share, continue to do service, continue to pray and meditate and let God lead my life, I don't have to go round and round and do that anymore. And I'm so grateful to be here.
My name is Kit, and I'm a long-term recovering compulsive overeater.
Thank you.
And what I want to share, and thank you, Vivi, is my spiritual, the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening. God has been a part of my life as far back as age 6, and other people have shared with me what God is and what God wasn't. And I took those on. And at some point in my program, I kept going, I'm doing this, but this is not happening, until one day I realized I had to shed my childhood God. And the God of my understanding today, my higher power, looks not very much like my childhood God. And the God of today has not disappointed me. That some of my friends that have asked me to pray for them look at me like, voodoo? And I'm going, no, I can't pray for you unless you give me permission. What I can pray for you is your highest and best good in all your concerns and affairs. But if you give me permission to pray, I'm going to pray with everything in me that this program has taught me. And I love it. I love the relationship I have with God. And I look forward to what's coming up next year. What's going to come up tomorrow? Well, on the ride home. And if something happens that doesn't necessarily fit in my plan, instead of going to disappointment and frustration and the way I can do, I can look at it like, well, okay, God, what's this all about? You got my attention. But the point I'm trying to make is this 12 steps has given me a better, closer relationship to a higher power. Thank you.
Say some things that are affirmations, but the things that at the core that haven't worked, I mean, work for me have been going to meetings and my prayers and staying in contact with my sponsor, and from that, my meal plan, my gluten-free, less processed, 6-meal-a-day has worked for me. That just kind of all came together. It wasn't like I tried. Actually, it didn't all come after about experimenting with my own self-will with food for about 10 years before coming to the program with what I'm about to tell. Stayed earlier. Things came together when I started doing the steps. But what didn't work for me was 15 years prior, and I don't know about you. I don't know if you're the type of compulsive overeater with me, but it didn't work for me just to go to my church and pray for some sort of discipline with my compulsion with eating. Nothing against, you know, supplementing my spiritual life with a little, some kind of something in addition to maybe the church I grew up with, but for the most part, my backbone is the 12 steps. So, my faith that I grew up with didn't do a darn thing for my addictions. And what didn't work also was low carb, high quantity, no portion diets where I could eat a piece of cheese like a Snickers bar, and what also didn't work for me was, you know, was an absence of a prayer life, and these things I've found out over time. But for the most part, when I did discover the tools, the snowball effect came, and a lot of ended. And I could go on and on about how my 6-meal-a-day diet, you know, kind of was epiphany, but for the most part, these things came after the spiritual life came, and going to meetings, and the healthy, and also deciding to eat organically in small portions, and after my spiritual life, the program was mature. Thank you.
Overeater. The six main things I learned were actions have consequences, either positive or negative. Growing spiritually is the most important part of my recovery. My spirituality, then my emotions, then the food leads me to relapse in that order. becoming willing to do what my sponsor suggests. Rats. Be willing to increase my capacity for joy, and guilt is self-will and keeps me from wanting to talk to my higher power. And this whole year I've been struggling with, why don't I want to talk to my higher power? And there's the answer, because I haven't been willing to do what I want that's positive, or in the past I did what I didn't want to do, and so I feel guilty. So for me, that was a big part of the conference I'll take away.
I'm Mountain Compulsive Overeater.
Amen.
Thank you for your service. Some of the things I've just learned, you know, just briefly, one, to travel, you know, this, the tools reinforced some of my bad habits, you know, being able to go out of town and not think about what do they have here they don't have in my hometown. You know, if my family's interested in that, that's good for them, but it's not something I'm fixated on. The weekends, all that empty time that can be filled with program related, either spirituality or just something that's not putting my focus on food. Also learned not to, you know, view my dietitian or somebody as an adversary and think, well, what can I get away with if they won't notice and that kind of thing. But, you know, just kind of, you know, to summarize, those are the main points. Thanks.
Okay, if your heart's beating fast, you need to get up and talk.
I'm Robin. I'm a compulsive overeater. And some of the things that I'll take away from today is when you choose an action, you choose its consequence. Pray the first three steps. Defiant perfectionist, I love that term because I totally relate to that. List 10 things you have to do before you binge. You've got a disease that's going to kill you. Act like it. I love that saying. This was a big revelation for me. Yes, I can have fill in the blank, but today I'm choosing not to because I have two small foster children. And so I've tried to be really honest with them about, you know, they eat foods that I don't eat. And of course, you know, questions come up and I want to be honest with them and, you know, share with them the things that I learn about myself in the program. And so I've explained to them that, you know, I have a food addiction and that these are certain foods that, you know, there are certain foods that I've said it as can't eat because, you know, if I do eat them, then, you know, it leads to more and more and it makes me unhealthy. But I love changing that to, you know, when they ask, yes, I can have that, but I choose not to, because I think that's kind of a better example of showing that it's not about deprivation, that I don't feel deprived, that I actually feel better when I don't eat those things. So I really liked that. Write affirmations and say them. That's one thing that I have really resisted for a long time, but I keep hearing people say that it works, so I'm taking that home. Pray for the willingness to be happy. That's a hard one. Sometimes for me, being happy is actually harder than being any of the negative emotions, and that always takes me by surprise. Sometimes it's more traumatic. I have to live through the bad feelings in order to get to the good feelings. I like that one because I have seen that in my own case. Fear, anger, and guilt are self-will in different forms. Fear is I won't get my will. Anger is I didn't get my will. Guilt is I didn't do my will. I like that. Am I willing to let go of the benefits of my character defects? That's a really hard one. I like practice makes progress. I love that. And I don't have to fix normal. And especially the last one was particularly hit home. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Me again. What you said?
All that too.
She said that. Okay, I can't say that. She said that. I can't say that. So everything she said. and then the big thing with me is because I'm working on step six again, and it's a struggle for me. But I think what you said about, by the way, thank you so much for everything, removing the defect removes the benefit of the defect. And I think that's probably my stumbling point right there, is that I don't want to remove the benefit. I want to keep that, but I want to remove the bad stuff. So I need to pray for the willingness to be able to remove the defects and the benefits of the defect. And the willingness doesn't mean I necessarily want to do it. That character defects are assets that are warped. I love that. I thought that was great. And then another thing, too, is that in my head, sometimes when I go to that dark place, it's like, you know, why can't I have that food? You know, why can everybody else eat that and I can't? And so I liked when you said to grieve the loss of the foods that you can't have, or that I choose not to have. Instead of resenting it, the fact that I can't have it, and then the willingness to be happy, to have joy, and especially for me, the willingness to have the self-esteem that I need to do everything I need to do.
Trip I had in mind today. My name's Renee, and I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict.
Renee.
The things that come to mind that I learned today, 301. When you choose an action, you choose a consequence. It's not in my plan today. Tomorrow might be different. No, thank you. The disease has 1,000 hats. That shocked me. I just thought if I said no, that the disease might go away. But I learned that is definitely not the case. I also learned to pray for the willingness until the willingness comes. It means I'm willing to do this anyway. One day at a time, being abstinent through the holidays, that was really a huge help. Being at Shades has really been a great cocoon. It is not the real world. It's a great education, and I am forever grateful. But this was really helpful to come here today and to learn what to expect at the holidays. So I'm really, really grateful for all your comments. Weight loss is a side effect, not a goal. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a concept. What was I thinking? And to learn that you don't get on the scale. Well, that's a shocker. That's something that I hadn't really thought too much about. At Shades, we get weighed, we just don't know what our weight is. And I was planning to weigh when I got home, but maybe I'll rethink that. Oh, this is a good one. It's all about relationship. And practice makes progress. And this is one of my favorites. Helpful is in the eyes of the person being helped. For us codependents, that is a great takeaway. So I thank you very much.
Wow.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank everybody for being here. There's so many thank yous, we could just go around the room saying thank you. Especially want to thank Joan and all of the Intergroup board who got behind this workshop and just got it going and made it happen. So thank you. And I want to thank those who drove long distances to get here.
Yes.
I know that that's a big thing. So we have the Lubbock ladies, we have the Midland folks, and we have San Angelo. So thank you. Thank you. All right. I wanted to read something from, it's really my favorite part of the 12 and 12 of OA. It's found on page 106, and this is what it says. We who began working the steps in order to recover from compulsive eating now find that through them we have embarked on a lifelong journey of spiritual growth. From the isolation of food obsession, we have emerged into a new world. Walking hand in hand with our friends and our higher power, we are now exploring this world using the great spiritual principles embodied in the 12 steps as the map to guide our way. We gratefully follow in the footsteps of many others who have walked this way before us, and we're gratified to be making footprints of our own for others to follow. Those of us who live this program don't simply carry the message, we are the message. Each day that we live well, we are well, and we embody the joy of recovery which attracts others who want what we have found in OA. We're always happy to share our secret, the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous, which empower each of us to live well and be well one day at a time. Let's all gather around and say the Serenity Prayer together as we get ready to... And I just want to say we have 30 people here today. That's pretty exciting. Thank you. And let's take a moment of silence for those who are still suffering with this disease. We may or may not be in program.
God, grant me this serenity.